Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news for May 31st, 2022. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time, and this is episode number 344. And my name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research. And today we have arranged for another option professor solo market update episode. So he's going to be talking about hedging market declines and upside surprises. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the option professor.
Okay. Thanks a lot, David. And good to have everybody here. Again, this is the Option Professor. Quick background on myself. I'm a graduate of Boston College and have over 35 years experience in the markets. And I've been trained at the CBOE, at the Options Institute. So I've done seminars worldwide. So I've educated thousands upon thousands of people in the areas of options and other investments as well. So simply stated, I'm very knowledgeable and I have quite a bit of experience. And today I'm going to be sharing my opinions and my observations. But obviously, since I don't know any of your particular circumstances, none of what I talk about is advice or a recommendation, because simply it would not be correct to give advice to people you don't know their circumstances. So what I'll be talking about is opinion and observation. Okay, let's get into it. What we're going to go over today is basically what I go over in my weekly portfolio roadmap. And that is, we're going to talk about stocks, we're going to talk about bonds, we're going to talk about international investing, we're going to talk about the speculative areas of energy, food, metals, crypto, and we're going to give you a wide view and then a more particular view. At the end of the broadcast, I'll explain how you could get more information in these things and how you could speak to me directly. But right now, let's get into the basic theme of starting out, which is, what are the major indexes telling us? Now, if you've read my stuff for the last Lord knows how long, I've been explaining to people that when the Fed removes liquidity, things don't go up in price, okay? And the valuations are going to contract because it's simple math. You have PE ratios, and when they're at 22 to 1 on the, or 23 to 1 on the S&P, and interest rates are at zero, you can get away with that. But when interest rates jump to 3% or so on the 10-year, that's a totally different ball game. And you're going to have a different valuation. So a lot of people are perplexed because a lot of these perma bulls keep saying the earnings are great. The earnings are great. Stick with it. Stick with it. Well, that might be good on a long, long-term basis, but on a shorter-term basis, it has been terrible because you've seen a lot of companies making a lot of money, yet their share prices have dropped substantially. Don't be confused on why. It's simply because the amount they'll pay on $1 of interest is different when the 10-year is pushing 3, then when it's at a half of a percent, like it was in 2020. Okay, so get that in there. Now, these valuations have come down. There's no question about it. But there's a lot of people who believe that there's more contraction to come. Simply because when these, there's a pendulum, right? And the pendulum shifted all the way out to 23 to 1 PE ratio, and now it's shifting all the way back. Now, if fair value is 16 to 1, then basically that might be the middle. But a lot of times the pendulum before it's done goes the other way a little bit, and ergo, I'll give you some numbers to chew on. If we make $2.30 this year on the S&P in earnings, and you get a 17 to 1 PE, you're at 3,910, okay? We just went to 3,800, right, on the S&P, and you're looking at it right there. I'll give you a one-year graph so you can look at it, okay? What about if we were to go to 16 to 1? What would you get? You'd get 3680 on the S&P. What if you overshoot down to 14 to 1 and the earnings stay at 230? You'd get 3220. You see, when these guys are talking 3500, 3200 on a worst case scenario, that's where they're getting it from. They're figuring the 230 and then they're figuring what? A PE ratio of what I'm talking about. Okay. Having known that for the last year, and having explained that in my newsletter, obviously, since 4,800, you should have been doing hedging or getting out. And of course, nobody's going to really want you to get out. So you really have to have your own fortitude to get out, because nobody makes money on a newsletter by telling you to get out. Nobody makes money in a brokerage firm by telling you to get out. So the bottom line is it's up to you to make these decisions, obviously. Also, you could be doing hedging, which I can discuss in a little bit, but I'm just trying to give you the broad strokes on where we're at. Now you can see here, I'm going to be showing you moving averages and charts that are more for traders because they're going to be shorter term in nature. When I have my one-on-one meetings with individuals, I also bring out what I call the heavy artillery, which is the longer term averages, which really give you a little better idea of the long-term trend because they don't change every day. Long-term trends tend to, you know, sustain themselves for a while. And again, the market gets way away from the averages, then it comes back towards them. But at any rate, I'm going to show you right now on the S&P, I always start with the long-term average, a long-term chart, 20-year. You can see on a long-term average here, the RSI. Now, let me tell you the bottom of the RSI. You're going to be looking at an RSI when it's above 50, you're going to be in a very constructive situation. We're still in a above 50 situation on the RSI. So as far as the RSI is concerned, the market is still constructive, albeit it's correcting. RSI right now is at 59. Okay. Now, with regards to the RSI, if it gets under 50, as you can see it did back in 2009, then you go into a negative time frame. But basically, since 2010, this has been a bull market, and obviously riding it all the way up has been the thing to do. But as I was mentioning to people last year, when you're getting this far away from the moving averages, this is called reversion to the mean. And you've got to understand that that's what's going to happen at some point. It happened up here. It happens up here. It happens up here. It all, you know, it happens at some point. Reverting to the mean is just something that's going to happen. Okay. Remember that when we look at some other markets. Okay, so then you move it into the five-year graph. Five-year graph looks terrible, and this is where I'm getting some of my resistance points. You got a resistance at 42.15, and you got a resistance at 43.05. Those are two moving averages. Can you see? Here's a key, too. When we ran up to 46.31, you're looking at a market that rolled over because the moving averages were pointing down. And so once this thing got right back under the average, it was bye-bye birdie, right? So the direction of the moving averages are very important. And no one can deny those averages are pointing straight down. Also, why could this be a key area? Because you're right at the 47 mark on RSI. Under 50, you can see, is not a good thing. So if this thing can get back above 50, that would be very constructive for the market right now. But if it can't, this area could be a sell zone, okay? Number 1 year. Looks like it's getting better, but these averages haven't crossed yet. They're at about 39.90 and 40.32. So the longer we stay above it, that would be positive as well. The problem is your RSI right now is at 48. So if it gets through 50, that would be very constructive. Okay. It might only give you a pop like this one did. You see, it got through 50 here. It popped. But after it got under this average here, which was around 45, 44, it was back in the soup. This thing is curling up. You can't deny it. Okay, so there could be more action on the upside in the near term, but getting above 50 would be a key if you have any hopes of 43 or 4400. 4400 would probably be a heck of a resistance. I have my resistance coming in at 41.75, which we kind of hit today, 42.70, which we just looked at ballpark, 4400, and then 4450. So those are numbers that I think will be difficult for the market to exceed. All right. That's the S&P on a one-month basis. Again, it's starting to try to get back up. If this thing starts closing underneath 41.38 and 41.53, where it is right now, and this RSI, which is at 55, starts getting under 50 again, that would be an indication of it turning over. So right now, if you're long, looks to me like today's lows, which are 41. Well, whatever the low is for today, I can't really see it there. But you know, the lows today are using 41.38 as a line in the sand. It's not that bad. But the fact that the one average is still under the other average is not a positive. So by the end of the week, if in fact this thing starts taking out these 4100 area, we're going to go back in the soup. If not, you know, use that 41.38 area, and maybe you could keep raising it up all the way. Okay. The 1 month is what people do, you know, very much short-term swing trading. Again, we've got things happening in June that weren't happening in the last week or so. Don't forget, we had a holiday coming up. We had the end of the month coming up. And you had a lot of people that were out of the market, short the market. And so between the high-frequency traders and, you know, people who look for order imbalances and then really hit them, because the liquidity of the market obviously is not that great, or else you wouldn't be seeing these wild gyrations, right? So bottom line is right now, the market's pretty much in a crunch time, and we'll have to see where they take it home. But if they start taking it home at 41.20, 41, under 4,100, you would think that there could be a problem here. So there you go right there. And that's not that far from 49.50. So we'll have to see. If it take out 4,100, and this RSI starts getting under 50 again, that would not be good. All right, let's look at your QQQs. And this is your, tech, NASDAQ type stuff, right? And I'm going to give you my review on that. All right, we always start out at the 20-year to get the big picture. What's the big picture here? It definitely broke down. The averages haven't crossed, but it's still very weak. But we're down in the 56 area. So again, we're still above 50. And this thing's been above 50, just like the other market, since about 2009, 2010. So it's been a bull market. But again, it has gotten very, very overbought. Again, when I tell you that the market is at 410 on the NASDAQ, back in November, which is exactly when the Fed pivots. And I tell you, the moving average is down at 313. That is overbought, and there's going to be a reversion back down, which is what we've seen. Now it's getting oversold down here at 282, so it's backing back up. How far it'll go? Well, 340 obviously is a resistance, and so is 361. So there's your two resistances on the long term. Five-year, again, those averages are pointing straight down. Resistance comes in 320, 333. RSI is still way under 50. Go to your 1 year. Now they crossed up a little bit, but the averages haven't crossed, and you're still teasing that 50 number. So if these averages can cross like they did here, you might be able to get a nice rally. But if they start getting back under 300 and 296, and the RSI starts pointing straight down, it could be back in the soup for the NASDAQ as well. Yields are popping. I'll get into that in a second when we talk about bonds. I'm going to show you right now in the stocks the best sectors for the month. Obviously there's individual stocks we can talk about, but we're going to be talking about an ETF, so you get a flavor. All you got to do is hit the top 10 of the ETF. You'll know what stocks we're talking about. So obviously oil popped today again, up towards 120 almost, 119. This market is let's go back 20 years on it. It's very extended, and it's getting close to an all-time high. I'll get into that in a minute as well. But again, it's extended. So people are saying, jump in energy, only if it's going to be parabolic. I mean, when we got into energy, it was down here. This is where we were talking about energy. After we had the crash, we went minus 37 on the NASDAQ. I mean, on the price of crude, minus 37 back in December. We got above this line. That was our first to signal because the line's turning up. Our second one is when they cross. So this thing was a buy down here, and you should be just riding it up. Now, when it's up here and the market's up here, this is where you do your hedging. If you want to hedge, if you don't care about hedging and if it goes back down, you don't care, then God bless you. But if you are interested in hedging, you might look at what these $100 calls are going for. That still gives you another $10 on the upside, or even the 110s, and then take that premium and buy puts underneath just in case the thing comes down. Yes, you'll be putting a ceiling on your stock at 100 or 110, whatever you choose, but you'll be able to have some insurance underneath, a put option, okay? Paid for by, hopefully, the call, okay? And then that's called a collar strategy, and that's what some people do. Or if you just want to keep the cash, you sell the 110 or 100 call, keep the cash. If it goes up from 89 to 100 and you think you've made a mistake on it, you can buy back that call. Maybe it'll be at a loss, depending on how much time went by. And then you can roll it up to the 110 and try to take in some cash there. You're still long the stock, so that's still helping you, if that's the way it goes. But this is when you would price out, or at least begin to price out, what type of hedging you might want to do. Do you want to just buy a put? Price them out. You want to sell a call and just take the premium in, and then your upside is limited to the strike price plus the premium? Or would you like to take the premium you receive on the call and use it for something to buy underneath a put? So that if the market starts tanking, you have the right, but not the obligation, to sell at a strike price until the expiration. Okay. We've got a PDF report that goes into this in much greater detail. Obviously, in this short format, I'm not going to be able to go into greater detail. But that's an example of hedging, and that's what people do. If you're long call options, obviously what people like to do is, if you're long the 60 calls and it goes to 70, you roll it up to the 70 or 75, goes up to 80, 85, and now it's at 90. You take some off the table and you go up to the 95s. That's called rolling up your position. The other thing you can do as a hedge is you're long the 60 calls or the 65 calls and it jumps up to 90. You now sell the 100 call. And if it's for as what you paid the 65 call, then you've got your cash out of the deal, right? Let's say on the 65 call here, you paid $5 as an example. If you sold the 100 call for $5, you now have got all your money out of the deal and you get a free look at a spread between 65 and 100, which is $35 of potential gain, and all your cash is off the table. These are things that we talk about in the PDF report, but I can't get into more greater detail here simply because I got to move on. Okay, so that gives you a little bit of idea on energy. The next sector that has been quite good, and we've been talking about doing this obviously all year long, the utility sector. They pay good dividends. You got to pay your utility bill. Obviously, look at this thing. It's been in a bull market here, obviously like everything else, all the way up, got hit when the crash happened. But even during the crash, it never broke under 50, which was another indication you should be buying the heck out of it. Here, we're still strong all year long, pretty much. It's been going fairly well. If you go to the five-year graph, still looks good. Look at the one-year graph, still looks good. So the utility sector, one of the best this month, still looks good. Another one is Staples. And on the Staples, that's Coca-Cola, stuff you got to buy when there's a draw. Okay, let's go back and we'll go to XLP. Again, these are the Staples, and I'm sure you're familiar with them. So let me get this up to you here, XLP, Consumer Staples. And then you'll see, again, on a one-year basis, it got hit, okay, and it's coming back up. This one doesn't look quite as good as utilities. Okay, on a long-term basis, it's hanging in there, but it looks like, so Staples are a little overpriced. This is not something we would be, getting involved in here simply because they got bid up quite a bit. And ergo, there's too many people who've run into Staples and that could be a problem. So again, on a five-year basis, it's broken. So Staples, although they had a decent month this month, that's not something we'd be looking at. The utilities are not too bad. Energy, obviously, is fine. And then the other one people like is healthcare. But again, that's not our cup of tea right now either. So basically, energy, and I'll show you the other one, energy, utilities, and I'll tell you the other one that we've been favoring. Because like I said, we're not interested in losing money. This is called high dividend. And that means these guys are making money enough to pay us income. And as you can see here on a one-year basis, it got a little choppy here, but it's back on the bicycle, so it looks okay. If you look at the five-year, it's been pretty good all the way up. RSI staying above 50 the whole time. And then on the 20-year, you'll see it was a nice money maker all the way up. So the dividend payers is an area as well that we think look pretty good. One area that people tell us is very cheap right now. So our nose is sniffing around because they say that this stuff has been discounted so much that the valuations are actually very, very attractive. And this is small cap growth. I'm showing you the one from Vanguard. Again, it came down into 200 here on the 20-year graph. Can't you see that this was the former highs here in 2020? Right? So can you see this could be an area where it might stop? And it certainly has so far. The low on this has been 195. It's already trading 216. So it's got a decent pop. RSI is right there at 50, 49.50. So this is a neighborhood. I would draw a line in the sand there, 195. And that would be my line in the sand if I had any interest in this thing. And I would have some interest if I did some more math on it. You guys can do your own homework, but go see what the small cap growth looks like. And again, look at the top holdings of this thing and get an idea of which ones they're in. But if you look at the five-year graph, it's very, very much down to when it hit the 195, it was kind of down into some support. And again, too early to tell maybe, but at 195 being your line in the sand, this thing is right here. If this thing crosses, again, it might need a little more time, 208, 209. As long as it stays above 208, 209, and we start breaking above 220, there could be something happening here. The cautious tail is what? You're still under 50, which means you have a weak market. You have a weak market. On the RSI, if it gets above 60, sometimes you'll get an acceleration phase to the upside. If it gets under 40, look at there, there's the 40 number. When it breaks under 40, that's when you can get some acceleration to the downside. But that's something to keep an eye on a little bit, because from what I hear, the valuations on that sector has really been discounted quite a bit. All right, we're going to roll now over to the bond market, which, in case you don't know, is controlling the whole thing. I mean, why do you think your house went up like it did? Why do you think your stocks went up like they did between 08 and 2021? Because free money, okay? Free money means valuations can go to 22 to 1 PE. Cheap money means people will speculate on anything because they can't keep their money in the bank. Why can't they keep their money in the bank? Because you get zero interest, right? And so basically money goes anywhere. It goes to SPACs, it goes to electric, whatever. It goes to innovation, disruptors, whatever the heck they're called, right? But the game has changed, right? And so basically when interest rates change, you got to change your tune, okay? These guys, you know, who are just continually buying stocks. I mean, hopefully it works out for them. It's just not our cup of tea. You know, we watch the trend. If the trend's kind of not our way, you know, we'd rather not be in. A lot of people say, I'd rather miss the first 10% of a turn than get in there too early. There's a lot of truth to that. All right, let's look at the 10-year note and get an idea of what's going on. Now, again, just like we saw on energy being extremely extended, you're going to find that this looks pretty extended too on the long-term graph. You see, the moving averages are way down here and the market is way up here. So we have been kind of suggesting to traders, and it's been working fairly well, that, you know, using 320 on the 10-year as a get-out point has not been a bad time to buy into the bond market for traders. Again, you know, these energy prices going up, the consumer's out there spending. He's now jumping on the credit cards. These guys are passing along the cost. You go out to dinner, it's costing a ton of money. You want to go out on a trip, costing a lot of money. So, you know, and when people get away with charging high prices, they won't cut those prices unless they're forced to. So, I mean, if you think the guy who just bumped your rent up to $1,700 is going to go back to $1,200, I mean, that's just not going to happen. So anyway, this gives you a perspective on where we could go. Now, we just already went right to where 2018. So remember when they were doing tightening in 2018? We just ran right there. But what's the difference between now and 2018? I'll tell you a difference. We're at 8%, that's admitted, probably more like 10 or 15% inflation. And that inflation, because some of these things are in short supply, structural short supply, you know, could hang around for a while. And again, the labor market is got two times as many jobs as people looking for them. So, I mean, what is that? People got a big, they've gotten raises. And on Friday, you're going to find out that they're still making money and that they're still getting hired. And it's probably going to be a strong report. If it's not, it'll be very odd because, you know, seems like everyone's got a job if they want one. And it seems like everybody's paying more than they used to. So at any rate, our concern is if something occurs, like you got something happened in the war, or you got something breaking in energy where all of a sudden Saudi went into their treasure chest and started to release some, you know, that could get yields to drop as long as 320 is not taken out. But ultimately, Will the Fed funds rate at 1.5 and 2 and 2.5, will that really stop this freight train that they've created of free money for 12 years? I'm not so sure. So where would our next stop be? Well, the next stop up here looks like it's going to be between 3.5 and 4. And then above that, if things got more hairy, going into when we had the housing going nuts, when the last time we went housing nuts, the 10-year went up to 5.25. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that's the direction it's pointing. Now, again, this 60 right here on the RSI is very important because if it can back off from here, then the 320 is going to be your high point. And if it can't back off from here and it starts getting way above 60, that's when you accelerate. And that would be higher than it's ever been. Now, having been around the block, I was around when Volcker was there. Inflation was 10%. Interest rates was 4%. He had to push them to 16% to get it to go back down. That's why my life experience is that it's going to take a pretty good size interest rate to bring this thing back down. And that's something that Dudley's saying and also Larry Summers. Now, again, we also have humility. We could be wrong, but that's the way the needle's pointing. In the short run, it's very overbought. And if some good news happened, you could get a rally in the bond market. Again, You can see when the bad news hits, like today, you go from the 270s to the 280s pretty fast. If this unemployment report is very strong, and if oil price goes to 130, and you start seeing gas go up another, you know, how many cents a gallon, you know, it could be a situation where we do take out the 320. But right now, 320 is the line in the sand. Right now, that's the one you go against. Let me show you some things. Municipal bonds, you know, muni bonds, 4 or 5%. You know, if things are going to slow down into a recession at some point, they might not be terrible yields. A diversified portfolio might be something to look into if you want income and tax-free. You can see here, though, this is the lowest price the MUB has been. Well, since we had this big crash when obviously everything was shut down, and then you had a big crash in 08. So outside of the big crashes, this is about as low as it's been in a while. But again, you know, if we're going to 5% or 4% on the 10-year, then obviously these things could go lower. Looking at a shorter term basis, you can see a turn. So that's what I'm trying to say. We were suggesting you can buy it against 320. Has that been a good idea? Absolutely. Okay. But again, if we keep getting bad numbers again, this thing will lose its altitude. Turning towards preferred stock, which is another way to get income. You can see PFF also made a turn down here, and the RSI got through 50. But again, a little bit overbought on a short-term basis, and that low right there. But on a 20-year basis, you know, it looks pretty sad. It looks pretty sad. And again, this is based on these are stocks that are issuing preferred shares. So if the stock market were to go down sharply, I would imagine this stuff's going in a little bit lower as well. And the last one's high yield. And again, high yield's been stabilized, but again, the trend is clearly down on the 20-year. Again, but the yields are quite strong. And we're back into the lows of about 2015 almost there. 75 would be your line in the sand there. On a one-year basis, again, this popped as well. Last week was a great week for fixed income. And like we said, if you want to trade it, you buy. And then if it gets above 320 on the 10-year, you get out. And that's been a good trade so far. What we've really suggested for people with larger amounts of money is that they consider a ladder and a treasury ladder until this thing settles down. And if you use a 0 to 24-month ladder, every month you got money coming due, you renew it at the 24-month rate. And at least when things start looking like they've topped, you'll be able to use that money and roll it out for duration. If you don't understand what that means, when we have a one-on-one session, obviously I can explain that in greater detail. But if you have a bunch of money that you're trying to earn income on, you know, learning how ladders work and learning when the trend in interest rates is more suitable to getting going is not a bad thing to look into. All right. Next thing is I'm going to show you international. Okay. And international. Oh, by the way, there's one last one. This is called floating rate. And floating rate is all different types of credit quality. But the duration on it is like 90 days. And it was doing fairly well. But then when the market tanks, they take everything down. And that's true with everything we say here. I mean, if we're going down to 3,200 or 3,400 on the S&P, I doubt seriously utilities aren't going to drop at some point. Okay, so there's your floating rate if you're interested in something like that. All right, so now I'm going to be talking about international. And this is a big story. China, their PMIs stink. They're still under 50, which means it's a contracting economy. Not good. But what is good is that they've improved significantly from April to May. And if they get through 50, and they're all in the 47, 49 area, if they get through 50, then it's game back on. So I have been sniffing around here and taking a little bit of a shot, thinking that FXI might work. And then this is on a one-year basis. So, you know, I certainly would not give it any rope past $30. And then you can see on a 10-year basis that this thing is used to be 55 and it went down to 26. So that's half price. It's very oversold. What do we talk about? Reversion to the mean. And so that is a reversion to the mean opportunity, potentially. But when you're doing reversion to the mean, you got to keep things on a short leash, because this was very overbought here, and it was overbought there, and it was overbought there. So obviously you would have been losing all the way up. Same thing here. Got oversold and very oversold. So, you know, you want to keep it on a short leash when you're playing the reverting to the mean game. The other one that's picked up some steam is their tech ones as well. So is there a turn? Are they going to open? When it opens, is it going to be making the oil go through the roof because of the demand coming back online? Their vaccines stink, I guess, and their population is not even getting vaccinated. So, you know, if people want to know why they keep having all these shutdowns, is their vaccines are no good and the people aren't getting them anyway. So that's how you get a lot of lockdowns. Okay. So looking at the Internet Trust, you can see it's a very, very away from the averages. And if you look at the 1 year, it is trying to make a turn. So where's the lines here? My lines here come in at around 27, ballpark, 26, 27. It's trading 29. So as long as it stays above 26, 27, and we get this RSI, which has just gone through 50 to keep going, maybe there's something there. Also emerging markets. This is the Vanguard one. Okay, look at the 10-year graph on this. You'll see it was in the tanker on the 10-year graph, right? Very far away from the averages, reverting to the mean. How do you know it's starting to revert to the mean? You go to the 1-year graph, and then bam, you got a buy signal right there at 42. And as long as it stays above 42, it's at 44, you know, and we can get that RSI through 50. It's trying to do it right now. So we'll have to see if it keeps going or if it pulls back. But they have crossed, and that's positive. So that's why putting this on your radar is not a bad idea. And then, of course, the ones that have been very good lately is Brazil. Because, again, a lot of natural resources. We need grain. They've got grain. We need industrial metals. They've got metals. And so here you go. And there you go. So, you know, it had a pullback from 40 down to 30. Got the buy around 32 here. As long as it stays above 33, 34, we still like it. And let's see what else. And where on a short-term basis, where'd you get your first signal on it? Was way down here. And obviously, if you're a trader and this thing starts breaking under here, that wouldn't be good. Another one, Mexico. Now, for, you know, this is for longer-term activity, not really day trading or anything like that. I'm just trying to give you some broad strokes on what might look good on a longer-term basis. So let's take this thing out to 10 years so you get a flavor. That the Mexico thing also, you see RSI is above 50 and you see the trend is up. So as long as it stays above 47 bucks, you'd probably stay positive on it. Europe kind of is in bad shape, but if anything in Europe is probably going to work, it would be the UK. And so basically that's where I'm focused, is on the UK. If you've ever been to Europe, it is one of the richer countries, and it's not involved in all the countries that are not so rich. So you can see that the RSI is above 50 on it. And you can see that we have a rising moving average at 32 bucks. So if we can get this thing above 35 bucks, it could be off to the races. And so we're keeping an eye on that as well. And the last one would be Australia. And Australia is trying to go up. The RSI is above 50. So that makes it positive. We'd like it to hold that 24.75 area where it is right now. So if it can hang in here and the RSI stays above 50, you might have something going here. So keep an eye on the Aussies from down under. That gives you a little bit of an idea on how the different countries are looking. And again, there's a lot of people who think overseas is where the better valuations are, and ergo, you know, maybe some of the better deals are. There is a high dividend international, I think it's an ETF, and it's from Vanguard. And you'll find out that this yields pretty good. And you'll see that, you know, despite all the big drop in the market, it's still trading above this average here, which is around 65 bucks. And you can see the RSI is above 50. So if you're looking for income and you're looking for international, that kills two birds with one stone. Okay, so let's turn now to speculation. And that's going to be the energy markets. Now, before we get into speculation, I am going to show you the Goldman Sachs commodity index. And I'm going to show you it on a 20-year basis because it'll show you why I'm thinking that the commodity sector is going to be peaking this year. You see the high here in 08? It was around 895. Can you see we went all the way up to 841 and then we backed off? Can you see now we're going to make another run at it at 800? So if we make a run at it and it fails, or if we make a little bit of a new high and it fails, do you see how far away from the moving averages it is? Can you see how high the averages are? So everyone who's telling you to run into food and run into oil and run into metals or whatever, you know, may be right if we go parabolic. But if we're not going to go parabolic and somebody starts coming up with some supplies of oil, somebody comes up, or there's a demand destruction or anything else, you could be looking at a situation where, you know, this is a place where it might peak out this year. We're not saying it has yet, but we're saying it's developing because, again, you make a high point here, you come down, you try to make another new high point. If it fails at 850 and starts coming back down, and when would we get an indication of that? Well, let's look at the five-year graph. If we start breaking under 760 and 725 on a one-year graph, well, the one-year, again, doesn't give you too much data. But let's see what it looks like on a 1 month. Yeah. So again, it doesn't trade that much. So on a 1 year base, on a 5 year basis, those averages aren't bad. Because you see, this thing's been pretty true to it on the way up. So I think closes start, a lot of closes underneath the 770 might be our tip that that thing is the high. And you see, if we do go up and make a new high, you see the high on the RSI here is 76. If we go up and make a little bit of a new high, and this RSI stays down here, that's called a divergence, and that would be indicating that this is a last gasp. So we're monitoring this very closely, and on our weekly updates, we'll be updating you on what we see. We are suspicious, okay? And suspicion can be a good thing, particularly so you can avoid getting into something at its all-time high, like the stock market at 4,800. Suspicious helped us out quite a bit there. Okay, so there's your crude oil and your commodity index. With regards to some of the different ones, let's look at, well, I'll show you some of the stocks that we've liked over time, not necessarily today. Suncor, Canadian deal. You would think we'd go after Canada for more supplies. Again, very extended, but you can see it's been pretty much a buy and just let it ride up, just let it ride up. But it's very oversold now. This is not a place where I'd start buying anything. You know, if I did, I'd put it on a very short leash. What does it look like on the 1 month? The 1 month has support at 40.99 and 40.36. So when you're buying something that's very high, you want to keep it on a short leash because you don't want to get involved in a big rainstorm. So that would be, if you use the 1 month graph, you could use some of these lines as keeping you on a short leash. Schlumberger, you look at it on a 10 year. Something interesting today, the exploration ones seem to be not doing so good. Again, this is just turning up right now. So again, could there be a lot of potential? You would think you're going to look for oil. You might need this stuff. 32 and 35 are your support zones. It's at 47. So it could pull back, but the RSI is starting to look good. So if you were going to keep this one on a short leash, it looks like the short leash is just about breaking. If it starts breaking much under 47, if you would have done the 1 year, yeah, you still got a 44, 42. So this is starting to show a little bit of a crack in the armor. And other ones we've looked at is Halliburton, Devon, you know, Oxy. You guys all know the names. Again, you know, if you think that, you know, the energy markets are going to go parabolic, you don't want to touch these things. You want to just sit back and let it ride. But if you think that something could change on it, obviously these are extended. The call premiums are quite high. So considering some hedging tactics up here doesn't seem far-fetched to me at all. Okay, the two natural gas ones we've always liked is LNG, and you know, still in a nice positive trend here. Looking at a 10-year, gets it more in perspective. Yeah, this thing got positive at 60, just ride it all the way up. Very extended though, very extended. RSI very high, so this is a time to be concerned or hedge, you know. And another way to do it is a replacement trade. Which again is talked about in the hedging document. And basically that's where you take a look at a stock like this and it's been as high as 150. And you say, you know what, I bought it at 60. If I sell it up here at 150, I make $100 on it. If I take, you know, 15 of those $100 I made and buy calls at 160, if it keeps going, I'm in the game. If it comes back down to 115, I'll lose the $15 I paid on the call, but the rest of the money's in my pocket. So at any rate, that's another way to hedge yourself. And that's what we talk about in our, if you have questions on the 101 session we can have, or if you get the PDF report. All right, what else do we have here now? Metals. Oh yeah, one last one was on the natural gases, RRC. And this one's been good for a long time. But again, like everything else, kind of extended. But you know, plenty of room to go. This is natural gas. And basically, if you want to keep this one on a short leash, where would the leash be? Yeah, the leash is starting to get tight. So if it starts rolling over and these two things cross over, that would be telling you that. And again, here's a classic case of diversion. You see this high point here? RSI is at 78. You see this high point here, a new high? It's exactly what I was talking about. And the RSI is down to 64. That's a divergence. And so if this thing starts blowing out $34, it's probably going to have a pretty good drop. Okay. So you got to be careful. You got to look at a lot of different things and then come up with a conclusion you can sleep with. Okay. Let's turn to these metals. I'll give you the price of gold. Gold. All right. Well, we'll look at the mining shares. Okay. The mining shares are basically hanging on for dear life. So is gold. Because we got to hold this thing above this 30 stuff. Okay. We don't need this thing turning down. If it starts breaking under 29, you know, you're going to get this RSI breaking under 50, and that's not good. Okay. So we are at crunch time on the gold. We want this 29 to 32 area to be the base. And then if we start closing above 34, hopefully we can get on the bicycle again. It is surprising to me, but happens, where inflation is very, very high, interest rates are still very, very low, and there's still a negative yield. Why this gold hasn't been flying is hard to understand. So, and if it does, believe me, then you'll get those high interest rates that I was talking about in the 4 and 5% range. Because if this thing gets going, again, I think like it did in 1980, it went from 190 bucks up to 850. Believe me, don't kid yourself. That probably had an effect on Volcker going to 16% as well. But anyway, that's not exactly what's happening now. Let me show you the gold graph itself, because I think it's very important to watch. Well, two things. Watch your 10-year note, watch the gold price, and of course, your oil. Gold's down 8 today, but let me show you what it looks like here. Okay, you see, they all come in here at around 840, that's where we're trading. So you don't want this thing breaking under 840. But if I look at the five-year graph, again, we're very close. You see, it's right at 50. So this thing starts breaking under 1800, for whatever reason, gold could have a very significant drop, for whatever reason. Hard to understand, but of course, the dollar is very strong. That's one reason it might be. But certainly held up a lot better than Bitcoin, you know. But anyway, that's where you are on the gold. And as I've been saying in the newsletter, you don't want to see 1700 prints on this stuff, 1700 handles. And again, if we get above, as I said in the newsletter, if we get above 1900, 1950, then it could start going. And if it starts going to 2000 or 2100 or 2200, I think you can rest assured those interest rates will be going up. Okay, so there's your gold. And then I'll show you an industrial metal. This is XME. Now this is going to be, you know, your industrial metals and a little bit of the other. And again, these are all trading type averages I'm using. You know, when I have a one-on-one with somebody, I bring in the more longer term stuff, which to me gives me more clarity on the big picture. But I don't have time to go over everything, as you can imagine, in one session here. So yeah, the industrial metals, if they can, again, they're above 50, and this would be your Cleveland Cliffs and your Steel X. And Vale, V-A-L-E, you know, this is the stuff that they're all into. So keep an eye on those, Freeport MacMoran and all that stuff. Right now, they still look good. But again, we start breaking down much from here. That one average pointing down is not a good thing because when it points down, it tends to go down. But you got to watch this 54 area. So the industrial metals could be decent, but they're back and forth for a good reason. And that reason is are those rates really going to start blowing out 320 on the 10-year? And if they do, it could slow the economy down. If he wants demand destruction and slow the economy down, it's hard to understand how the industrial metals would fare well in that environment, because projects would get cut back, I would imagine. And then let's look at crypto. Now, there's a lot of crypto out there. We look at two. You obviously got Coin, Riot, NVIDIA's involved with the crypto as well, AMD, IBM, Accenture. But this is the ones we look at. And, you know, we've been pretty good with it because, again, our stuff has been showing that it's in a downtrend since 40 on this thing, and it's already down to 20. We thought it might hold here for a rebound rally, and it did. But we did say that's the line in the sand. So getting a back above 23 here on this particular one would be constructive. But if you look at a shorter term graph, let's see what we need to see. Yeah, you see it's trying to break out of the house here, but look at the RSI. It looks like it might try to get going here. Again, this average here would be a line in the sand at 19 bucks. It's trading at 2088. Short term traders, You got the buy signal right here at around 1920, and you want it to stay above. You want it to stay above 1972 and 1943. Again, so it is trying to get going a little bit. Ethereum we like quite a bit because people do use it, and their blockchain. People like DocuSign, which although their stock has come way down, you know, still is used. I just used it to sign some documents yesterday. So here you go as far as this is concerned. Okay. And again, this is another one, same story, trying to get going. If you want to speculate on it now, 1221, you'd want it to stay above 1221. All right. Agriculture, food. Everyone's talking about it. Well, again, you know, rain brings grain. So if they get this stuff planted out there, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but could mean supply. They're talking about wheat in the Black Sea. So again, this fits into our premise that the commodities are having a blow off. And let me show you what we see here. You see, that's the high from 2012 and 2008. You see, sometimes it makes a tiny bit new high and then it collapses. Here, it tried to make a new high. So far, it's not been able to. So getting back above 18 would be very important. It just tried to when it went to 1770 or whatever, 1750. And now it's given up the goose here today. Overbought. And look, we got a little bit of a divergence here. You got the high of 72, and then you got this high at 65. So that's a divergence, and that is not bullish. So bottom line is, let's see if we're going to get a more significant pullback. What would tell us we are? Let's see. These two crossing here, and where are they at now? They're at 1693, so it's under that, and then 1658. So if we can get these things to cross, you can at least get a selling opportunity. If this RSI breaks 50 this time, after having what? All of these high points, it might be the more significant one ahead. And again, if you want inflation to come down, you know, breaking the grain prices wouldn't hurt. So again, there's another situation there. Last thing I was going to say is, people who wanted to get involved in the commodities, we did suggest that they look at a Vanguard ETF. And I talked about this 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So this is not something I'm talking about now. But I'll show you what we were talking about, because this is a one-stop shop run by obviously a very big company. And again, you'll take a look at it here and just look at it over the last 5 years. We got a buy signal on this thing down here at about 21 bucks. And this thing's been a strong market all the way since. Now you see this big collapse. You would might think that they lost money during that phase, but you know what that is? That's called a distribution. Can you see it happened at the end of 2020, 2021? So when they give a distribution, they reduce the NAV down for the distribution. So obviously, when it went down here, we were thinking this is another good time to get in, and look at it now. And I'm sure as long as the commodities remain, and this is like, it follows one of the major indexes. So it's like half oil, and then it's got metals and it's got grains and some other stuff too. But anyway, this was a one-stop shop for people who wanted to get involved in the commodity sector. And obviously, it's been a great place to park money if you're bullish on commodities. Right now, again, you'd certainly like it to stay above 33 bucks. And at the end of this year, I think they give out distributions at the end of each year. And so the bottom line is that, you know, get the prospectus on all this stuff, whether it be ETFs and everything. Get the prospectus, get the stuff you need, and then talk to your brokerage firm and talk to your broker. Find out what you're suitable or not suitable for, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, and then proceed from that point of view. Again, always talk to your broker, your brokerage firm, and your broker. They know you. I don't know you as far as your circumstances. Okay. What I do know is what I can do for you as far as education is concerned. And here's what I can do on that front. Again, we have PDF reports, and we have PDF reports that we can give you on hedging, which will go over how to hedge against declines in the market, but also how to use replacement trades to hedge against up moves in the market. We have a PDF report that goes into that. We also have income strategies in a volatile interest rate market. If you're in bonds for the last year, you are getting whacked hard and you didn't have to. So we have a PDF report that explains alternatives to getting whacked. The other area we do have is how to use covered calls to protect your cost basis. That's a strategy that'd be interesting to people as well. And with those three, And we also have one on international. So we got four PDF reports. We also have a credit. We have three charts that we can send. One is a credit spread chart, which you'll see on a historic basis that when the junk bond or the non-investment grade bond and the treasury get to a certain spread, it has coincided with a low in the stock market going back to 1975. We found that chart fascinating. We also have one chart for you on the Shiller PE ratio and also on the Buffett indicator. So in addition to the PDF reports, we've got those charts that would be handy. And we also have the 30-minute session where I and you speak to each other. You have questions, you have ideas, you have things that have not worked for you. We can look at some of those things and see how you could have behaved differently, possibly. What were your alternatives on those things that did not work out? And then, of course, we can share ideas again back and forth. I have opinions and observations. I share them with you. And then you have challenges and things that you want to talk more about. And during that 30-minute session, we can do that. So again, the PDF reports, the charts on those indicators that I find very fascinating, and the 30-minute deal, they all go for one price, and it's a giveaway price. It's $99 one time, not every month on your card, not $5,000 or $10,000 up front. No, one time, $99. People use their credit card. We get the information sent directly to your inbox, and then we set up a time that's good where me and you can talk and go all through some of these things that are bothering you as far as challenges, and also hear more specifics on what I'm seeing as well. And I'm more than happy to share. I've been doing this for over 35 years. I obviously have quite a bit of knowledge and experience. I'm very happy to share it with you. And at $99, it's a pretty darn good, attractive price. So you can either go to the website, optionprofessor.com, and you could put your email in, or you can call directly to the office, 702-873-8038. And I'm Jim. I'll talk to you when you call or send your email in and we can talk sometime then. Again, thank you very much for being here, everybody. We obviously covered quite a bit. Again, when you do sign up, you also get a free weekly update on what we call the portfolio roadmap, which covers all this stuff week in and with week out. So again, give us a ring, give us your email, and let's try to get educated here. And until we talk again, good luck and good trading. Again, this is the optionprofessor.com, and look forward to hearing from you. Have a great day, everybody.